living here in the apartment, do things take on new meanings for me anyway. There's a wonder of springtime and harvest. Can't help but think of all you guys out there harvesting your crops over the past weeks and perhaps weeks to come. And that is a wonder, it really is a wonder when you think of that seed being planted into the ground and what it produces by the providence of God. But the greatest wonder, of course, as you have just sung, is the wonder that God loves you. He loves you, farmers, just in case you didn't know that. Well, he loves everyone. But I just have to give the farmers up this morning. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from
for us to simply compartmentalize all of this, to simply look at each individual event and try to really determine exactly what happens, or perhaps just simply read it at face value and say, well, this is what happened.
Thank you.
Jesus. I don't quite understand what you're talking about here. How does all of this work out in my own personal life? How does this address me now as a farmer or as a construction worker or as a teacher or as a preacher or as any one of these things that we do? How does this affect me? It affects us like crazy. Because our identity now has changed. Everything has changed for us who are living on the other side of the center, or the center cross of Calvary, or we could say the finished work of Jesus Christ. Things have now changed for us. We are now walking, as it were, in the power of the Spirit, or we are supposed to be. That's what makes this story so startling. Because it addresses us at our own personal unbelief and needs. Jesus, when he comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration, after the disciples had seen this and were questioning him, they said, well, how come Elijah hasn't come yet? He tells them about John the Baptist. I'm not going to go into that this morning. But then he goes into this, where they meet the crowd of people, and there is this young boy who is possessed, as it were, by a demon. And they couldn't cast him out. Now remember something here. The disciples have been empowered now by the Spirit of God. Christ had sent them forth into this, that area of Palestine, that region of the world, to go out and proclaim the gospel, to bring this message. He gave them actually power over devils, over demons, so they're able to cast out these things that destroy and to bring peace into these lives, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. And this frustrates him. O faithless generation, O unbelieving group of offspring. You see, this generation here, he isn't just talking about those people. He's talking about the people that we engage with each and every day. The person who stares back at us in the mirror in the morning. O unbelieving group of offspring, how long will I put up with you? How long will I allow this to go on? Bring him to me. You see, that's the point. Christ is, as we heard in the prayer, the center of our very existence. Christ is the center of our work life. He is the center of our home life. He is the center of our church life. He's the very center of our existence here in this world. It can be no other way. You don't somehow have God and then your life over here. There's no such thing as that. It was tried in the Old Testament and it didn't work. And the prophets would bring this out all the time when they dealt with the people. What are you doing? Why are you suffering all of these things? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you have disconnected from the God of heaven. You haven't listened to his word. You haven't heeded his commandments. And so therefore, this is your plight. This is where you find yourself. And we live now after the time of the great restoration, where Christ has restored everything now back to its rightful place with God. He has set us right with God. Yep, we don't. We don't bring things to him. I can make it on my own. You know, perhaps maybe it's one of the worst things about being American, and maybe that sounds kind of crazy, but is this self-dependence. I've shared with you before, need God for it. I can do all of this stuff all by myself. Thank you. And he said sometimes it's the hardest thing to deal with. Of people who are so independent and so strong in themselves that they find that they themselves are their own God. And you see, this is what we recognize as Christians. We have the same battle going on within us as well. Why do I need God? I remember when I was in construction, we were getting a job site ready to go to build a house on, and we were talking with the excavator operator, getting ready to do all of the work that took place and stump the land and take all the stumps out of there and dig the cellar hole. And my boss, who was a Christian man, said, as long as God wills, or something along those lines, we'll do this if God helps us. And he said, well, what do you need God's help for? Basically insinuating, well, I got this excavator, it's a pretty strong machine. It can dig pretty big holes. You see, not realizing that every ability that you and I have, all of the gifts that we carry within ourselves, are all given by God, who is the Creator. He is the one who gives you the ability to climb into that John Deere and plant your crops. And gives you the ability to the rains to come, the sun to shine, to make that thing come forth. He's the one who actually gives you the breath that you breathe right now. Bring him to me. Bring him to me. Jesus, here is this sick person. Here is this person who's possessed by a demon, as we read here. This demon, all it wants to do is destroy it, because that's the work of the enemy, in case you're wondering. The work of the enemy, Satan himself, is all about destruction and destroying. This is what this teaches us. That's all he wants to do, is destroy you. So where do we go? We go to the one who is the strong man, who has bound the enemy. And there we find our strength. Bring him to me. Bring them to me. This is difficult. Because we're like this man in the story. Jesus tells him, he actually asked, the man asked the question. He says, but if thou can do anything, I just love that. They bring the child to Jesus. Immediately, when the spirit sees Jesus, it throws the child on the ground. The child is wallowing there on the ground. Jesus asks the question, how long has this been happening since a child? His father tells him and says, and it's trying to destroy him. Oft times it casts him into the fire, oft times into the water. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. This is God. This is Jesus standing in front of this sick child. And this man asked the question, if you can do anything. Is God able to address you in your needs and in your wants? Is he able to carry you through whatever you go through in life? Is he the one who's actually providing for all your needs? Or is it your wonderful ability at planting things or building things or whatever it is that you do to earn money? Is that what it is? Is he able? Can he actually address us and help us in our needs and in our wants and provide for all of our needs? Can he do that? No. I think so. homes and all of these things. We hang up nice little Bible verses around our houses so we can read these things. But do we understand what that means? The God of the universe who created all these things condescended down to our level to become like us, took the penalty of our sins upon himself. Can he help us? Can and he has. You see, this is what we struggle with on a daily basis. Am I really saved? Is all of this that we talk about and hear about taught by our pastor or by our Sunday school teachers or by our parents or whatever it might be, is it all true? Over and over again, we are reassured by the power of the Holy Spirit that yes, these things are true. Jesus sees the people come running together. He rebukes the foul spirit, says of him, "You dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more into him." And immediately the spirit cries and rents his sword and comes out of him. Because this was the one who had the power. Jesus is demonstrating himself for his disciples and for you and I as well. He comes to bring life. You look at this little boy who he had just healed. Everybody said, look, he's dead. He's laying on the ground there. He must be dead. But he raises him up. Because Christ has come to defeat everything that comes across our paths in our lives. And I'm meaning in the sense of sin and the work of Satan himself, who comes into our lives to somehow drive us to despair. He has defeated him. He is no longer able to destroy you. That's the power of the word, of the gospel message. Christ has come to give you all of these things. The disciples asked the question, well, how come we don't cast out the spirit? And Jesus says a very interesting thing. This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer. It comes forth by the power of God. I don't know, perhaps the disciples decided, well, you know, we got this power now within ourselves. We don't really need God's help anymore. We got this figured out. We'll just simply say the right words, say the right incantation, and boom, some kind of miraculous thing will happen. And they forgot the power of God. By the way, fasting isn't supposed to be there. Some monk added that later, thinking that somehow you needed to make a formula. It's by prayer. You read in all of the Greek manuscripts, and there's not fasting included. It's simply prayer. It comes out by the power of God. In other words, he's teaching them a very important lesson. This is how you function. This is how you deal with things in this life. By the power of God, not by the power of man. And any power that you have in and of yourselves is given to you by God himself. Never forget that. He passed through Galilee and he taught his disciples again. And he teaches them the same lesson over and over again. Why? The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men and they shall kill him. And after he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Because it is in this finished work of Jesus Christ that we now stand. The church stands each and every day in the power of Christ. It can't stand anywhere else. To stand anywhere else is to simply crumble and fall away into human wisdom and understanding. We stand on the central work of Christ, which is his death, his resurrection. And we live now under that teaching and that power. And this is what I understand as I live through my life, as I live out each and every day. Christ died for me and rose again. Now I begin to understand what is the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection gives me hope for eternal life. I begin to understand that even though God has given me this ability to do whatever I do in my vocation, this isn't the only thing for me. I live in the power of the resurrection. Therefore, I am now free to live for the other. And that's really what the last part of this text is about. The disciples, they were worried about being great. Jesus asked them the question, you heard the reading. What were you talking about on the way? I mean, think about this for a minute. Jesus had just told his disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be raised back up. And they're following along just really chewing on that, thinking about that.
No. I wonder who's going to be the greatest.
Perhaps Peter's going to be the greatest. He is the most outspoken, after all. It could be John. John, he's such a loving guy. Perhaps he would be the greatest. Or maybe James or Bartholomew or one of these other guys. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? Jesus says, you guys don't even know what you're saying. The kingdom of God does not work in the same manner as the natural kingdoms of this world. He says this in another portion of the word, but here he simply says, if any man desires to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Did you hear that? If anyone desires to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. In other words, he says, within my kingdom, within my church, you are to serve one another. But he goes even further than that, because he actually fulfills these words. Christ comes to serve us. He says that later in the 10th chapter of this gospel. The Son of Man came not to be served, but rather to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, there's all kinds of teachings just in this one little passage that we read. The kingdom of God is about Christ. And that's the central teaching of the kingdom of God. And then the kingdom of God is about gathering people in. He takes a child, sets a child in the midst of them, and says, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receives me. And whoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but the Father who sent me. Full circle. The church and its ministry is centered on Christ. And the church's business in this world is to bring people unto Him, to receive people, to simply speak to them in their foolishness, in their unbelief, and to bring to them Christ and Him crucified so that they can be turned from those things and turned on to Christ. It's really a quite simple message. It goes all the way back to who's the priority here. Is it about me being great in this kingdom, or about you being great in this kingdom, being recognized by people all around for your greatness? pray that you would reveal by the power of your Spirit, Christ, that we would find in him our all in all, and we would find that indeed, Father, he's able and has been rescued us. Has saved us from ourselves so that we are able now to live out our lives under the power of the resurrection. Knowing, Father, that whatever faces us, we have life. So we pray, Father, for your direction. We pray for your guidance for this congregation, even as we live out our lives in this community. May we stand completely and fully on the work of Christ. May you, in fact, be our priority. May you be the thing that drives us to do the things that we do, no matter what it might be. Father, your name would be praised. Your name would be hallowed. Your name to be glorified. Oh, Father, make yourself known to these people. Minister unto them in their personal needs and show them Christ as they work in whatever vocation they work in. So that indeed, Father, one day when we come to